Welcome to the Grow in God's Love program, The Holy Journey to Heaven, offered by the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission, the School of the Saints, within the Holy Roman Catholic Church. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we as sons and daughters of Almighty God are gathered as the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission, the School of the Saints, within the Holy Roman Catholic Church. In thanksgiving and in return of His great love and mercy, Jesus died on the cross for our salvation and waiting on us to guide us and teach us His truth of love and mercy. We proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection, the blessing salvation message, and evangelize God's people to follow Jesus Christ, in order to prepare all of our hearts to be holy and perfect so we can enter the kingdom of heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we proclaim the eternal, life-giving Word of God in order to feed and tend God's people. Witness Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Help God's people to follow Jesus Christ, the way of the cross, which is the holy journey to heaven, according to the teachings of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, to enter the kingdom of God, based on Almighty God, our eternal Father's master plan, according to His holy will, so that those who are baptized will grow more in holiness and get closer to God. Those who do not know Jesus Christ will get to know Him, so they also will have great hope of salvation in eternal life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, during this holy journey to heaven, Jesus will teach us to truly love Almighty God, our Eternal Father, with all our hearts, souls, and minds, and with all our strength, and love one another. So we will be purified and sanctified to become holy and perfect with the Most Holy Trinity's love, in order to prepare our hearts to be united with God and one another. By the power of the Holy Spirit, through our baptism, we as children of Almighty God are obligated, and it is our duty, to willingly take responsibility to respond to His holy call to love Almighty God, our Eternal Father, and one another, in order to become holy and perfect, and to teach and discipline future generations with Almighty God, our Eternal Father's merciful love. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we as children of Almighty God are striving to grow in holiness as the body of Jesus Christ within the Holy Roman Catholic Church. As Jesus said, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it." The foundation of the Holy Roman Catholic Church is the seven holy sacraments. Through these holy sacraments, we as a church grow in God's holy love in order to enter the kingdom of heaven with the help of our true mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, and all the saints and angels. We come to do God's holy will by loving God and one another, to serve God and His people, all mankind, nations and languages, and every age, for all of our salvation, and for Almighty God, our Eternal Father's glory alone. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're so grateful to God that you can be with us, and we'd like to let you know that you can hear this broadcast right now on the Internet at www.birach.com. That's B as in blessed, IRACH.com, and choosing Listen to WNWI.
Luke 18, verses 18 through 23. An official asked him this question, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he replied, "All of these I have observed from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing left for you. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became quite sad, for he was very rich.
God's blessings. This is Bill, and I'm here today with both Mike and Jan as they journey together as a married couple in both their Catholic faith and their love for one another. And they would like to share today their struggles and their joys and their blessings of their married life and especially their spiritual life.
Hello, my name is Jan Imhoff. My husband Mike and I are here. We've been married about almost 37 years. I have been a Catholic all my life and born and raised in a very Catholic community and attended a Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, been very active in my Catholic parishes wherever we've been. And we raised three children through all the Catholic stages of their formation, and now they are married or engaged to be married. And we also have three grandchildren, three boys. They are ages 10, 8, and 7. We are just so involved with them, as like any grandparents would be, and been very involved with our Catholic faith all of our life. And particularly at this stage in our life, we have come to become members of the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission. My first involvement with the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission was in around 1995. I can't remember the exact date, but I was looking for something to go on in my life in terms of a deeper spiritual commitment to the Catholic faith. And I noticed something being advertised in our local newspaper about a Bible study group. And also this same group was going to be studying the lives of some of the saints. And I attended my first Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission meeting in 1995 and have been active ever since.
Good evening. My name is Mike. And as Jan had mentioned, we've been married about 37 years. And I've been involved with the Love Holy Trinity Mission, I guess now, about 12 years. And I come to know the mission by virtue of Jan mentioning that they were going to have a Bible study program over at our parish. And this happened to be about the beginning of Lent, so I thought in my mind, this would be a great Lenten experience. I'll do this. And went to the first mission meeting, and I was informed that this was a lifelong journey. At that point in my mind, I searched my soul and wondered if this is something that I needed to pursue. And I prayed on it and kept going to the meetings, and more I felt drawn, very strongly drawn to the mission. Because what I was hearing was, it was the truth that I was hearing.
Well, we're here particularly because of an unexpected event in our life, maybe not under the best circumstances, but as I'm going to share with you, hopefully throughout this program, how God can use situations that we don't want and turn them into blessings.
You know, Belle, when I look back, I look at Jan and I, and I look at our marriage, and we were the proverbial boy and girl living across from each other, directly house across from each other, that we meet on the playground when we're 15 years old. And we have three or four wonderful years of a relationship in high school. We met very early. We've been together for a long time. From the innocence of youth, we've been together. And we dated all through high school, and I went away to college. And as I look back, I was there maybe a couple months, and I get the Dear John letter. You know, she had found someone else. And then we dribbled along through our early 20s and whatnot. And just by the sheer grace of God, we eventually got back together and we're married. Now, through our married life, we've had, like most marriages, we've had a lot of bumps in the road. And you know, we stuck together. And I'm a very persistent person. I have a goal. I was brought up with old school values. And I need to see things through to their completion. I'm a task-oriented person who really doesn't quit, that has a lot of persistence. But and I look up until about a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it is, and particularly in lately, because Jan has re-devoted a lot of her life, a lot of her time, and a lot of her focus to the mission. And like I say, I endorse that. I feel so happy for her because she is so happy doing this. And I myself, I'm very, as I'm around mission members, the Love Holy Trinity has introduced me to some very, very holy, saintly people. But I got to a point here in the last, let's say, year and a half, and I often wondered, you know, I'm in this comfort zone, and what would it take for me to come out of this comfort zone and grow deeply spiritual? To do as that rich young man, to get across that chasm that he can't get across. And I've read that line many, many, many times over, and I want to read it one more time. But when he heard this, he became quite sad, for he was very rich. Now, granted, monetarily, I'm not very rich. We're okay, but we're not very rich monetarily. But we are rich in many things. And you know, we all have idols. And my idol was as I analyzed my own self, my idol is my independence. You know, I love to fish. I love to go to sporting events. I love tremendous amounts of personal time away by myself, alone. And these are all somewhat, sometimes, got to be almost a selfish pursuit. Now, it's very, very tough to get out of this comfort zone. And that one factor that we have that is a common denominator is time. And our wealth is our time, and we really don't know the extent of time that we have on our earthly journey. Just recently, about 6 weeks ago, I was having a few various physical symptoms. I was chilly all the time. I had this itchiness. My appetite was not good and whatnot. And I thought, well, it's just probably, you know, just something that's passing through. I got a cold or something, but I thought I'm going to check in with the doctor. And I called on a Monday and I said, my urine's a little dark and I have the chills and et cetera. And I was told, well, it sounds like the virus is going around. Take plenty of liquids and if you use Tylenol if you need it. Basically, take two aspirins and call me in the morning. So I kind of dismissed it and went on for 3 or 4 days. And it was like Thursday, and I called back and I said, I really need to come in and see somebody. I've got various symptoms going on here, and I really need to talk to a doctor. So that Thursday, they got me in to see a doctor. And when I got there, I could not see my regular doctor. There was a very young lady doctor, and she looked at me, and I told her some of my symptoms. And she looked at me, and she said, you look jaundiced. And I really hadn't even realized I looked jaundiced or all yellow. She did various checks, looked at my eyes and looked at various things, and she said, I think you have something fairly seriously wrong with you, and I want to do some blood tests, and we will we'll be screening you for whatever we we'll come up with here. So I went down to the lab, took blood, and was scheduled for an appointment the next day. And that night I went home, and I went on the computer, and I did a little research, and I thought, you know what I think I probably have here is probably hepatitis, or I probably have a peptic ulcer. There was a little history of that in the family. So I went in Friday. I had my paper with me, and I was showing, I come in and exclaiming, and that I think I have a peptic ulcer. And she informed me that, no, I did not have a peptic ulcer, that the test came back, and she was testing me for pancreatic cancer. This was Thursday. Immediately they scheduled me for a CAT scan on Friday morning, 8 o'clock. Took some more blood tests. Had an appointment on Friday afternoon. And I was told that it looked from the tests and from the CAT scan that I definitely had had pancreatic cancer. And at that point in time, the world goes on spin. Jan was there. She broke into tears, and it was a very emotional moment. And all of a sudden, that spiritual 2x4 hit me right on top of the head. Somehow, this was the answer to my prayer, I guess. The next several days were very tough. Both emotionally and spiritually, actually, it was very, very tough. And when one's faced with his own mortality, all of a sudden, you're on a different wavelength. Many things passed through my mind. Probably the most paramount thing was my daughter's getting married on Labor Day, 6 months away. The one thing I knew about pancreatic cancer was it's a good news, bad news thing. The good news is there's not a lot of pain. The bad news is it's very quick. And as I think back, many times I've said, my dad actually died of pancreatic cancer. However, he was 83. And had often said that, you know, I'd kind of like to script my dad, Ed, you know, where you're healthy all your life, and in the last couple months you don't feel good. Get a chance to say your goodbyes and get things in order, and that's it. But when you're faced with that decision of your own, your daughter's getting married 6 months down the line, you have a lot of things in life that you still want to accomplish. Retirement's only 5 years away. I just turned 60 on January the 20th, which is a couple of months ago. Somehow or other, you read of the statistics, and cancer happens to other people. It doesn't happen to me. I always have plenty of time. I've got all these years in front of me to develop myself spiritually. But all of a sudden, the rubber hits the road. You're in the spotlight, and things are happening fast. I could feel myself cycling down very fast. I did look in the mirror, and yeah, I'm very yellow. I had all these crazy symptoms going on. One of the worst of which was, well, with the condition I have with pancreatic cancer, the bile duct in your digestive system is blocked with a tumor. And you have this tremendous itchiness, like you have poison ivy through your whole body. So it was a time of extreme physical distress also. I can't sleep at night. And as you can't sleep at night, your mind just races. And your mind races. And you think, you know, my earthly time on this life might be very short. I could very much feel my body cycling. I was going down quickly. And the following Monday morning, they had set up a procedure for me, and they went in and did a what they call a stent. They go down through and the stent, and they reroute the bile duct around your pancreas. And this proved over the last few weeks here to be very beneficial because it did do away with a lot of the major symptoms that I had. I was scheduled after this procedure for another procedure at University of Iowa Hospitals for an exploratory scope and a biopsy. Went there. I went through that procedure. The results came back. Definitely pancreatic cancer. Where the tumor was at was wrapped around a major portal blood vessel. I was and still am in an inoperable situation, and met with a surgeon about a week later, and was told that we would attack this physical ailment with chemotherapy and radiation. I met with the oncology doctor and went on somewhat of a modified program from the original strategy, but that's where I am today. In fact, today I just came from a chemo session. This is my physical stature at this point, and I just like to talk about my spiritual stature. As I mentioned, you know, I had prayed that, you know, Lord, what can you do? Help me here. I'm at a wall. I'm that rich young man. I've never missed church in my life, I don't think, on Sunday. I've done all these things. I've followed the law. But how do I change my heart? And as I reflect, you know, my situation at that point when my original diagnosis, and now I look at my situation now, and I guess I've sat through many a Bible reading and heard about the blessing and the curse. And as I reflect on this in my heart, I truly do believe this is a blessing. And I can remember back in that day back in the doctor's office when the diagnosis was read, yes, you have pancreatic cancer. I can remember looking at Jan and say, there will be good. We'll come out of this. And that's really my heartfelt feeling about my situation, is that if the Lord can use me in any way to further the cause, let it be done. I think I've, you know, I've been challenged to drink of the cup. The Lord has given me this time to slow down and get my attention. And viewed in this perspective, one has to very much say, yes, this trial I've been handed is truly a blessing and not a curse. I'm just amazed at all of the prayer, all of the support that I've received since my diagnosis. I'm overwhelmed by my sense of union with my love Holy Trinity family. All the prayers, all the well-wishing, all of the feeling, the emotion that comes with the support. It's just the grace and the blessing just gush over me right now. I just came from one of my chemo sessions, and today I feel pretty good. There's good days, bad days, side effects are happening all the time, but I feel pretty good today, and I was just reflecting before that I've read many times, when I am weak, I am strong. And today I feel pretty good, and you know, I'm just reflecting today that, you know, when I feel strong, all of a sudden, my mortality seems to get out of my immediate perspective, and I even find myself going back into some of my old thought patterns. And it's just very, very interesting that I find myself in my human nature just constantly battling my spiritual side. At my weakest moments is when I'm drawn to our Lord. And I think most people will relate to that. I reflect back to the other times in my life when there have been crises. I've always reverted back to God. God, show me your mercy. God take care of your child. One of the other blessings that I found in my life is that emotionally, I've been able to say things to people that I could never say before. My relationship with my kids, my relationship with Jan, my relationship with just everybody is just, it's changed. I just have this overwhelming sense to say to anybody I've ever hurt, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I did not mean to hurt you. I want to apologize. I want to forgive anybody who has offended me. And my pride in the past was very, very difficult to do these things. I do not know where I'm going from this juncture. I'm just getting into my chemo thing. I do not know where my earthly journey is going to take me. It's just that I reflect back now, particularly on the last 12 years of my being on the journey with the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission. And I don't know how I would cope had I not had these last 12 years of God's blessing as of being a member of the mission. I draw on the words that I read in the Bible each day. I feel overwhelmed by the prayer that people have covered me with. I do not know where the path goes. I have to purely rely on the goodness of God and faith and hope.
Mike, a few minutes ago you shared the same scripture that Jan shared, sell all you have. Could you share with us a little bit deeper on what that really means? How has that scripture come alive? I know oftentimes when I've gone through trials or which I can see as blessings, the Word of God just jumps out onto the page and it's just so alive. And it has a, you know, just a personal space in my heart. So what does that really mean now to you that you're walking through this this trial time?
Well, Bill, I guess it's a question of priorities. And before I had alluded to that we are all given time, but we don't know how much time. Most of us tend to think that, well, the average life expectancy is 80 years old. But that may not be true. And when I look at that, my time is my treasure. And my priorities have always, I guess, been very, very prideful, very self-centered probably, very selfish. I tend to find myself right now of, I couldn't care less who won the basketball game that was played last night. I really don't care for what's on TV tonight. The juncture of my life right now is my eternal salvation. My goal now is not necessarily to have the material things of life. If I won the lottery tomorrow, what good would it do me if I'm not alive in 6 months? The priority of my time has got to change. I've been prepared to the mission to evaluate and to be able to assign values to the priorities of my life. And this has been invaluable. And I see that rich young man is that he was in a comfort zone. He was willing to follow the law, but he was not willing to go beyond that comfort zone. And as I look at my own mortality, I say, I need to prioritize, not of earthly things, not of the wanting to spend my time on the things that I want to do, But I just want, I should be trying to prioritize to be a simple instrument of God and do whatever He wants me to do. I need to die to myself. Instead of the world circulating around me, I need to be that humble, obedient servant and follow whatever God would like me to do the rest of my days.
I want to share one of the dynamics that I have seen that has changed in our marriage since we've gone through this event together. It may seem small, but it's something that I know is coming as a result of the grace, and also I too have been prepared by the Love Holy Trinity Mission, by God's Word, how this has been brought out, and through the encouragement of the mission, how we've been invited to attend, you know, Mass daily, and I want to, and that's something, you know, God has been preparing us by giving those, pumping out those sacraments to us, and we've been, you know, going ever since Mike got this news. He's been to Mass every day, and that's a huge change. You know, I mean, he's been at work every day before this, and you know, just maybe didn't, you know, it couldn't work, or maybe didn't maybe make it work. You know, I had my own thoughts about that. That, yeah, I think if he really wanted to, he might have been able to go to Mass. You know, but now, you know, like you said about the 2x4, that has changed. And you know, to go to Mass on a daily basis with my husband is just unbelievable. And there's a lot of observations I want to share, you know, about what I have seen Mike go through. But one of the dynamics that I want to share right now is God, yes, has prepared us both. And Mike had mentioned earlier in our marriage, we are both great scorekeepers. And, I mean, this even got ridiculous sometimes because we were even actually counting down how many times one of us would discover that one of us would leave a light on in the closet or something. Because that was one of our little ways of digging at each other. You're not doing what our rules in our house say. We're supposed to shut our lights off, and you didn't do it. You know, how picky, but also just a manifestation of how we're always trying to get one-upmanship on each other. This competitiveness in our marriage has just been horrible. And, you know, this is exactly what God has been showing us to, that's gotta go. That's gotta go. So, one thing that I've noticed, you know, about Mike is his, reactions and his attitudes and his ways of, you know, interacting with me have just like completely changed. And meaning, you know, so much more considerate, you know, so much more, you know, willing to put himself in a second position instead of, you know, his old ways of, you know, being so independent or these things. And those were all little sore spots for me. And then how this has affected me is, you know, a lot of my prayers in the past before the mission were always, Mike, or dear God, please change Mike. And I gradually through the mission have learned to pray, dear God, please change Jan. And by praying that, actually Mike has changed. And then what I got to see is all that stuff that was important to me about Mike doing things the way I wanted to or treating me a certain way. Well, I'm getting what I asked for, but it doesn't matter anymore. it doesn't matter to me now that, oh yeah, he's being nicer to me. I don't care about that. I don't care that he's nice to me. What I care about only is that I'm just begging God now, give us enough time, God. Whatever the outcome of this disease is going to be, for your glory, let Mike and me finally learn how to love one another as you have asked us to love one another in our marriage. And the scripture that says this is in Luke chapter 13. And it starts with verse 6. And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." And I just see this scripture is my prayer for us. God, don't cut us down yet. We've been rebellious. And now, because of this situation and because of God preparing us all these years through the mission, you know, I'm asking him, just let us have some more time. And what God is waiting on from Mike and me is this fruit, the virtue. He wants us to have a holy marriage. You know, if I had never been introduced to the mission, if I had never seen what a holy marriage can be as witnessed by other members of the mission, and also as God is inviting us through the Word of God, I think, I don't know how Mike and I could ever aspire to, you know, living a holy married life through this, well, for the rest of our life, and however long or short it's going to be, even because of this situation with his cancer. And, you know, now I know how to pray. This is a holy prayer. You know, please, Lord, you know, let us have a year or whatever time is necessary. I know to ask God, you know, just give us, please, Lord, give us enough time. And one of the things that I have learned from the mission is God's mercy upon us. He is not a harsh God. He's a loving God. And as Mike has said, we could be so angry about this illness, and we could, you know, we could not deal with this without having, you know, the stability of, you know, the faith in our life because of the mission. I don't know how we would react. I honestly can hardly perceive it. One thing that people ask us, and I think most people know where Mike and I are coming from now because of the mission, but every now and then something will crop up, you know, how would you spend your time if you knew you were going to get a life sentence, death sentence, and you knew, you know, it was coming? Well, we all have a death sentence, and, you know, from the moment we're born, we're sentenced to death. That is God's word. He said we're going to die. And so before the mission, I never thought about that. I just never, you know, we all just kind of had this understanding that we were going to live to be, you know, this certain normal life expectancy. And now, you know, all this time now, God has been saying to us, be prepared, be awake, be ready. What if you were to die tomorrow? How would you spend your life? And then the answer to that question is always, oh my gosh, I would spend my next hours or my next week or my next year or my next 10 years. It has to be the answer to repent and make things straight, straighten up. You know, don't put it aside any longer. And that's what I'm, you know, where my time, our time, you know, that's where we need to go. You know, God is shaking that alarm clock in front of us and saying, time is ticking. It's passing on here really fast. And we don't know. There's no guarantee that, you know, even after the chemo treatments and so on, that Mike is even going to have any kind of a recovery. They've told us that it's possible it's going to even continue to grow and eventually be the cause of his death. So we know the statistics out there about pancreas cancer. It is the most deadly kind. It is the one that only 15% of people have some possibility of recovery, but the recovery itself may not even go more than 2-3 years. So that's the facts that we're facing right now in terms of this condition. This cancer is deadly. So with that, and then knowing, as Mike had said, you can look at this as a curse, or you can look at it as a blessing. And in the whole big picture of our life, because God has somehow invited us to become part of this mission, you know, just invited us to come and hear the truth. The truth being, God promises eternal life to those who are faithful to him. And Mike's persistence, you know, as long as he continues to be persistent in following God, and, you know, we hope and pray that the fruit will come out in our marriage. And also for me to be persistent. Now's not the time to be slacking off and thinking, well, he's got the cancer, so that means I'm probably going to be okay. I mean, that would be ridiculous to think. I know someday I'm going to die. It's just the reality of this hitting home, you know, being persistent with what is the goal? What is the purpose of our life on earth anyway? The purpose of our life is to produce this fruit somehow, by God's grace, to become more pleasing to him, you know, to learn to do his will. You know, another thing that is just such an unbelievable grace is, you know, when we were first told about this, and Mike and I just, you know, horrified, and how do we deal with this? And then I remember Mike or one of, I don't know, maybe it was me, we both kind of said something about this, you know, well, I guess this is our Lent journey, you know, the rest of our life now. And that's one of the things that I have come to understand from the mission, is that our whole lifetime journey is the way of the cross. Not just these 40 days of Lent, but that's where we're at right now. I look at Mike's diagnosis as now, finally, we can pick up our cross and finally carry it. My role in that, I just, you know, want to be there with him. I want to be like Simon, you know, help him carry this cross. And then accept this cross, and not only accept it, but learn to love this cross. That's what I feel God is telling us in all the scriptures and then all the meetings that I go to. I think that's what God is telling us. Don't run away from this cross. Your salvation is tied up. And so that's what I think Mike and I are at right now. We're just kind of struggling with that. This is not an easy way. You can't just see this big cross because you know what it's going to entail. We sort of think, you know, the doctors have painted this picture of what it's going to be like. And it's horrible. Just every, you know, aspect of it is not going to be beautiful or pleasant, you know, but that's just the physical part. And that's exactly what I'm hearing because of the mission is, okay, Don't run from it. Grab a hold of it. Caress this. You know, learn to treasure this. It is a blessing. It is God's mercy. I'm here to tell you that that's what I'm seeing, that by God's love for Mike and God's love for me and his desire for us to become a holy married couple, he has allowed this cancer out of love for us.
Over the past month or so, a lot of people have come to me and said, gosh, you don't look too shook up. You look like you're pretty much at peace. And it's kind of because it's a very emotional time for me and for Jan, and this kind of comes as a surprise because there are moments when I do have a lot of turmoil. But through the Love Holy Trinity mission has prepared me so well. My gut feeling is that, you know, if the Lord wants me around, he'll take care of me. If he has a job for me, if I am to be that vessel of clay, that instrument to be used, he'll take care of me. If not, what I read in the Bible is pretty darn comforting. There are many psalms and there are many things. I'd just like to read one little thing that comes to mind, and that happens to be in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. And I happen to have this underlined in my Bible from a long time ago. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And as I read the Bible, and I read of the wonderfulness of being united with our Lord, the picture is so vivid and so graphic that why would I fear death? I mean, I look at this and I have a wonderful set of alternatives here. And this is why I can truly look at this and say this is a blessing. This is that time, that grace that I've been given to slow life down, to step back, and to really take an assessment of what I need to do to get to that goal of eternal salvation. And this is why maybe I do look at peace. I can't explain it, but I'm very, very thankful for it. It's a grace given to me.
I feel much more prepared because of the mission to be able to deal with and respond to the temptations that are coming into our life. One of those I feel that is coming is temptations to in our marriage is to still go back to some of our old way of living. As Mike was talking about, when I can see him starting to feel better, I'm you know, it's like, oh, this is more normal. You know, maybe we got this thing licked or something. You know, and then right away, instead of, you know, oh, give us a year, we'll get it straight, you know, like from begging God for that, I can feel some of my old habits, my old ways, you know, wanting to control. Just even, you know, I can hardly humble myself in front of Mike when he's feeling good. It was easy to humble myself in front of Mike when he was also down. And I think that's natural that, you know, but the spiritual part of this for me is that when God tells us in the scripture, he who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled. And now God is asking me in all situations, Jan, whether you like it or not, no matter how someone comes after you, no matter what Mike may say to offend my pride or something, no matter what, God is asking me, can you humble yourself? Not so much humbling myself before Mike, but humbling myself before God and then using that situation with my husband. But if I could, by the mercy of our Lord, by his kindness and his love, if I could somehow just keep that word in my heart. I know it's there because that's Jesus told us that as long as we stay connected to the vine and the branches, that, you know, he's going to remain in us. If I could somehow keep that and then act on that at all times, I think that's one of the ways that I can use this time with Mike and build our marriage up to a holy marriage, you know, putting myself, almost reversing these last 37 years, you know, that God is saying, come on, you guys, I've given you so many opportunities, you know, through my love and through you being a Catholic and your, you know, involvement with the mission now finally, you know, is coming to fruition in these last times of our lives, no matter if, you know, we live another 10 years or a month or 30 years, doesn't matter. God has somehow prepared me and Mike through this mission to know how to live according to his commands for us, his holy will.
Mike and Jan, we've had some beautiful sharing on your struggles and your blessings. And, you know, we continually give all glory to God that you can be here with us and share the blessing of the mission, the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission in your life and what it has done to you and how your Catholic faith has just come alive. As we kind of wrap this program up, what if anything, could you share with anyone that's listening, you know, with your trials and your blessings you're going through, what would you want to say? If these were some of the last words that anyone would ever hear from you, what would you want to say?
Well, I guess there are two things I'd like to say. And the very first thing I'd like to say is, you know not the hour of the day. We're all on our own individual journey. We're all on our individual timetable. The sun may be shining today. It may be very stormy tomorrow. Grasp that sense of urgency and prepare. Get to know the Lord. Have a relationship with the Lord. As I had mentioned before, I'm a very good procrastinator. I procrastinated on many things. I procrastinated upon my life's actions in my relationships with my wife, with my kids, with people around me. I have regrets. And I look over my shoulder and I didn't do everything wrong by the grace of God. But there are many things I wish I could redo. I have regrets. But I'm thankful for the graces given to me in my life. And I'm so thankful to be sitting in front of this microphone and to have the words come out of my mouth that I don't think I would have ever been able to say had I not been on the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission journey for the last 10, 12 years. Through the scripture, through this prayer, through the sacraments, and all the gifts, and just the sheer mercy of God for a repulsive sinner, I'm so fortunate. The second thing I like to speak of is I'd like to read from 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. It is with great humility that I hope I have run a race that's adequate of that reward in the Lord's eyes.
We will hear more of this sharing from Mike, Jan, and Bill in the time after Easter Sunday. So please continue to join us every Sunday. We truly thank and praise Almighty God that you could be with us today for the Grow in God's Love program, the Holy Journey to Heaven, offered by the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission, the School of the Saints, within the Holy Roman Catholic Church. If you'd like to join the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission, the School of the Saints, and find out where meetings are taking place, they are currently being held in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Or if you'd like to bring the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission, the School of the Saints, into your parish, or if you'd like to subscribe to the New Life in the Holy Trinity, please call us at 773-745-0011. The number again, 773-745-0011. And you can also email us at lhtbm@lhtbm.com. Again, lhtbm@lhtbm.com. And you can also hear this broadcast on the internet at www.birach.com. That's B as in blessed, IRACH.com, and choose Listen to WNWI. And we'd like to let you know also that you can hear our past radio programs and read our past The New Life and the Holy Trinity publications at our website, www.lhtbm.com. That's www.lhtbm.com. May God bless you. Copyright 2007 by the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission, the School of the Saints, within the Holy Roman Catholic Church. All rights are reserved by the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission, the School of the Saints, within the Holy Roman Catholic Church. No part of this broadcast or any broadcast of the Grow in God's Love program, the Holy Journey to Heaven, may be used, copied, or reproduced in any manner whatsoever without written permission from the Love Holy Trinity Blessed Mission, the School of the Saints, within the Holy Roman Catholic Church.